What's up, Prime? I am super pumped for tonight as we kick off week two of our series, Beauties and Beasts. But before we go any farther, I need to hear from you. So, beauties, do me a favor and stand, just kind of like we did last week. I wanna see a big smile and I wanna see the pageant wave. You guys, you don't have to all be in a pageant to know what I'm talking about. Just give me the pageant wave. Awesome. Looks incredible. Give it up for our beauties. That's great. You guys can have a seat. All right, Beast, let me see you. Stand up. Give me the chest pound, and let me hear your grunt like a beast does. Awesome. You guys are great. Well, if you were here last week with us, you know that we kicked off a series called Beauties and Beasts, and tonight I'm really excited. Tonight we're in week number two, but before we get there, let me recap a little bit of last week. What we said last week, and here's what our main idea was, is that all relationship, remember from last week, all relationship begins with friendship. The foundation of any relationship is friendship. And we talked about the fact that this is a series where we're not going to answer every question in one night. Rather, there's a lot to talk about. So what this series is going to do is we're going to progress each week. And so this being week two, we're going to move on from the friendship stage and move into what was God thinking in terms of, you know, what is God's plan for sex and the fact that God designed it and God created it. And so what did he have in mind and what was he thinking? But we're also going to look at this thought that there's one lie in particular. There's several lies that we believe in as a society teaches us, but there's one lie in particular that I want to hit tonight because it's the one that I think probably bombards you as a middle school student the most. But before we get there, let's have a little fun. As you know, last week again, you know, we talked about friendship is important. And you know, we also talked about how guys and girls are different. And so, you know, the reality is, beauties, you're very different than the beasts. And beasts, you're very different from the beauties. And the reality is that that's the way God designed it. That's the way God intended. It's a good thing. It's a God thing, a God designed thing. But there's nothing wrong with talking about some of the differences. And so, as we did last week, we pulled out these two awesome little books, 99 Thoughts About Guys for Girls' Eyes Only, and 99 Thoughts About Girls for Guys' Eyes Only. And let's just have a little fun. So, for example, I'm going to talk. This is from the Thoughts About Guys. So, beauties, I'm kind of reading this to you, and beasts, if you agree, you know, just deal with it because it's probably true. So, here's a couple. One is guys are bad listeners. Guys are bad listeners. Hey, let's face it. It happens. That's kind of the truth. Or how about this? Guys always seem to speak before they think. Yes, I'm a guy. I can get that. A lot of times we just speak our mind instead of thinking about what we want to say. How about this? Guys most of the time make decisions based on logic and not based on emotions. That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate. See, again, we're just getting to know the differences of each side of the room. There's nothing wrong with learning some of the differences of each side of the room. Or, for example, guys don't understand you, beauties. Guys don't understand you. There's no way to understand you. But we can't just pick on the beast. We can't just pick on the beast. We'll also go to the other book, which is 99 Thoughts About Girls that for guys' eyes only. And so let's just kind of read, you know, we'll read some of these and just see what we think. For example, you know, sometimes the littlest things can ruin a girl's entire day. You guys agree with that? Of course you agree with that. That's the truth. It's okay. Remember, this is a book written by a woman about girls. And so we're not picking on you. It's just the truth. Or what about this one? Most of the time, there is strength in numbers, especially when girls go to the bathroom. Now, that's the truth. That's the reality. You know, you girls, you love to go to the bathroom together. You ever see a couple beasts going to the bathroom together, you're going to think, that's weird. And for girls, it's just not like that. Or The direct opposite, girls, you sometimes make decisions based on the way that you feel. Not necessarily logic, but based on the way that you feel. So that's just having, we're just having a little fun tonight. We're just having a little fun. Again, that's not a jab at you guys. It's just kind of some thoughts and some facts and some truth to give to you. Now, I want to be honest. Tonight, I have a lot to talk about. There's a lot to discuss. And I need to warn you that some of what I'm going to say, you may not agree with, and that's okay. But this is what I really want you to understand. Tonight is not about my opinion. I'm not here tonight to tell you and explain to you my opinion of what I think about sex, okay? That's not why we're here. What I want to do tonight is I want to open up the scripture and I want to give you a godly perspective. I want to give you a biblical perspective of what God intended when He created sex, all right? But here's the thing. Before we get into that, we just need to kind of get the heebie-jeebies out of the way. And so what I want to do on the count of three, I want to hear everyone in your loudest voice just at the count of three say the word sex. Here we go. One, two, three. Awesome. Again, this is not a series to make you feel uncomfortable, not a series to make you squirm in your chair, but it's more so we just want to talk about something relevant to you, something that you face every single day, and that's where we're going to go tonight. So here's the bottom line that I need you to understand tonight. God has wired us, beasts, to be attracted to them beauties, period. Let me say that again. God has wired girls to be attracted to guys and guys to be attracted to girls. There's no comma, there's no question mark, but rather it's very, very clear. And so that's where we're going to start tonight. That's where we've got to start. That's what you have to understand, is that that is the exact way that God has designed us and designed relationships to work. Again, let me say it again. He's designed girls to be attracted to guys and guys to be attracted to girls. And so the question that I want to answer really quickly tonight is, what is God's plan? And I believe it's very simple, and I believe it's found in the context of Scripture. But before you get to that, what you have to understand is what we say in this room, I understand, and I realize that a lot of what is said in this room is not what you're going to hear in another place. In other words, when you leave this room, you're probably going to be bombarded by the direct opposite of what is said in this room. This is what you need to understand. What you hear tonight is based on God's Word. It's based on the truth of the Bible. And that's what I want you to understand. I can't control what society is going to teach you. I certainly can't control what society believes. But what I can control is I can teach you and tell you what God's Word has to say about something so amazing and so incredible and something so God-ordained as sex. And so what I want to do really quickly, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you that's found in Genesis chapter 1. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse number 27. Genesis 1, beginning in verse number 27. Open your Bibles to that, and here's what it says. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, here's what it says. It says this: So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And then God blessed them and said, Be fruitful and multiply. So here's what we're saying. Here's what we understand. We know that God has created guys to be attracted to girls and girls to be attracted to guys. And here's where it is, right here, verse 27. God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Here it is, male beasts and female beauties. He created them. So we know that's where we're starting. We know that girls, you're supposed to be attracted to guys. Guys, you're supposed to be attracted to girls. And here's the thing. This is God's plan for sex is this. A man and a woman who are married to one another. That is when sex is to be experienced. That is when sex is a great thing. And anything out of those two contexts causes a world of trouble. But before we get there, I want to read another passage to you in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and that is going to begin in verse number 24, and here's what it says. Again, God's Word. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, if you look at that passage, look at the word united. You can circle it. You can underline it if you have your own Bible. The word united in that passage, this is what it's saying. Married. A man and a woman who are married. The Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. Meaning a man and a woman who are married together. Who are married to each other. That is when sex is to be experienced. That is when sex is to be experienced. Now, I want to give you another thought. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, I want to read this to you really quickly as we launch in. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, here's what it says. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. Did you hear that? Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. In other words, God created sex to be between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman who are married to one another. And we're to honor that relationship. Students, one day when you get married to your husband, beauties, or to your wives, beasts, you will be able to have the opportunity to experience the most intimate, most amazing thing that can happen between a male and a female. And that is what sex is all about. That's God created it. It's a great thing. And we don't want to shy away from talking about it. But what we want to do is give you the right context. And this is what you have to understand. Anything, absolutely anything, outside of that reality is sin. And in turn, is taking something that God intended as a great thing between a husband and wife, perhaps the strongest and greatest level of intimacy, and it makes it suddenly become something that it was never intended to be. For example, God did not create man to be attracted to man, and He did not create woman to be attracted to woman. This is not the way that God designed it. And therefore, anything like that is not His plan. Students, God did not design sex to be experienced outside of a marriage. God did not design sex to be experienced anything outside of a marriage. Only within the marriage context is the way that God designed it. The reason why this is such a crucial topic, did you know that the Bible actually mentions sexual immorality 47 some odd times? And I believe the reason why that's the case is because it's really important to God. You see, how we treat an experience like God has given to us matters a really, really, really big deal. And so students understand that sex is something that experienced in the right context and at the right time in your life is going to be an incredible thing. But anything outside of a husband and wife married to one another will create a world of chaos. And that's actually the second part of my talk tonight. Because the reality is what we just talked about, what's clearly in the Scripture, male and female who are honoring their marriage relationship, that is not what you hear. That is not what is preached to you. That is not what many of your friends and maybe even teachers or coaches, maybe even your parents believe. Rather, society, the world in general, they've done a really good job of feeding us lies, deception, things that are not true. And that's the problem. The problem, students, is that we have been lied to. I don't necessarily believe that we've been purposefully lied to, but I think when you look at media, meaning Facebook, musical lyrics, TV programs, movies, internet. When you go to all of those avenues, every single one of them seems to me that it exploits sex, and it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. For example, magazine covers. Magazine covers are a huge deception in our world. And here's the number one lie, before we get to magazine covers, here's the number one lie that I think probably bombards you as a middle school student today. Here it is. The lie is that the outside matters more than the inside. The outside matters more than the inside. Now, here's what I want you to do. I actually brought and researched some magazine covers. I want you to look at some of these magazine covers. We got two tonight. And for example, look at this one. This is a YM magazine, specifically designed for youth and teens. And look at what's on the front cover of the magazine, 347 ways to become hotter. You have got to be kidding me. So basically what this magazine is telling you, what this magazine is teaching you, that shy from 18 days in a year, you got to spend 347 of 365 trying to look hotter. Now, I don't know about you, but that would get old. But see, the reality is that that's exactly what these things teach. And it's ridiculous. Or this magazine, for example. This is a magazine. Look on the front cover of this one. It talks about teens and plastic surgery. Did you know that just last year, get this, just last year, over 219,000 teenagers had some form of plastic surgery? Now, granted, I know that doesn't reach all of you in this room, but ages 13 to 19, 219,000 students. In 2009, it was 209,000. So you're talking in 2 years, it's grown by 10,000 students, 10,000 teenagers. And students, the problem is that we choose to believe the outside is more important than the inside. Now, to help us out with this, I think we need a little bit of a what I would call a commercial break. It's getting kind of hot and heavy in here, and I think that it would be wise to take just a moment. And so to help me illustrate my point, here's what I need. We're going to have some fun. I need two guys and two girls to come up and help me with something really, really quickly. And here's what we're going to do. Girls, beauties, you've got to be okay with these guys applying things, makeup to your faces. So if you're cool with that, raise your hand. I just need two of you. Okay, you two, come on up. And I need two dudes that you're cool with, coming up and providing, or not providing, but applying makeup. Come on up. Come on up. All right, cool. And so here's what's going to happen. You guys have got one tube of lipstick. You've got one deal of blush here. And you've got what's called eyeliner. And so you guys have literally, we're calling this the 1 minute makeover, and whichever group does the best according to audience participation, we are going to award that group with two of these little booklets that I've been reading from the past 2 weeks. So here we go. On the count of three, help me count. One, two, three. All right, well, that was fun. It's all, come on, this is middle school, so we got to have a little fun here. And I got to be honest, I'm not completely bummed about what the guys just did. I think they did a pretty good job, with the exception of maybe kind of missing the lips on the lipstick and that kind of thing. But either way, hey, that's cool. That's cool. You guys did a good job. Give it up for our peeps. Of course, one of you had to lose, one of you had to win, but thank you for both playing. But here's the point in that. The point in that, we're having fun and that's cool, but the point is, how quick are we to judge the outside? I mean, think about people that you see every day. Think about beasts. Think about when you look at the beauties and beauties. Think about when you look at the beasts. I mean, how quickly are you to judge just the outward appearance? Because I would venture to say that all of us in this room, we have that struggle. We have that innate instinct to quickly judge the outside. And understand, this is not what I'm saying tonight. Please. I'm not saying that the outside is not important. I'm not saying that it's not okay, you know, to look good and to take care of yourself and to have nice clothes and iron your shirts. Not that you would ever do that, Beast. But I'm not saying those things. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with taking good care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with doing those types of things. Hygiene's a good thing. But students, when that is what consumes you, that is when it becomes an issue. You see, the truth is that the outside is not as important as the inside. The inside matters more. The outside matters, but the inside matters more. Maybe you're still not getting it. And if that's the case, no problem. Check out really quickly. I want you to watch this commercial from Dove. I want you to see what this is all about. Check it out. So guys, as you can see, I really want to illustrate this point well. They took a normal girl and completely revolutionized her face, her hair, her skin, and yet what they want you to believe is that was her natural look. But what in all reality, you see the billboard, and of course you see the billboard and you're thinking, man, she's a cute girl. But in all reality, did you know that it probably took over 10 hours of makeover, love, and care? Of airbrushing her face to look the way that that billboard looked? Why is that, you ask? I'll tell you. Because society pushes us to believe that the outside is king. That the outside is king. Here's my point. We believe it's all on the appearance that matters. That's what's most important. Now I'm going to throw one more picture up here. This is Cindy Jackson. Cindy Jackson is a pretty woman. There's nothing wrong with saying she's a very attractive lady. And if I asked Cindy Jackson, if I were to say, Cindy, how far would you take it? How far would you go to look your best? If I were to ask Cindy, is it worth doing anything and everything you can? This is what I know what Cindy would tell me. Cindy would tell me, you go as far as you possibly can. Why do I say that? Because Cindy Jackson holds the record for the number of plastic surgeries by one human being. She's 55 years old, students. Get this. She's 55 years old, and she's had 52 procedures done. All ranging from her face, her hands, her legs, even her fingers, to make them look less fat. Students, that's a huge issue. That's a huge, huge problem. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this. In 1 Samuel 16, this is what God says. It says, you know, do not be like these men and women, for man looks only upon the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. God looks at the, let's replace soul. See, when I say the inside, I mean the heart. I mean the soul. I mean what drives a girl or a guy. Is it their relationship with God? Is it making wise choices? And students, we're going to get further into this thing next week where we talk about dating and when is it right to date and who should you date and how far is too far and all those kinds of questions that I know are on your minds. But here's the truth of tonight. The worldly reality is this. You will never be good enough. You will never be good enough. It doesn't matter what you do. You could always look better in the world's eyes. Cindy Jackson, are you kidding me? 52 procedures, only being 55 years old, and yet it's still not good enough. How do I know that? Because I watched an interview. She was interviewed by CNN a couple years ago, and she was still thinking about more procedures that could be done. Just a few nights ago, I was on Facebook, and I was reading, you know how you go, and you've got the news feed, and something caught my eye. And I was reading on a student's Facebook wall. I'm not going to tell the name, but this is what the person said. My grades need to be higher. My weight needs to be lower. My stomach needs to be flatter. My skin needs to be tanner. My teeth need to be whiter. My heart needs to be stronger. My friends need to be uglier. My face needs to be prettier. My hair needs to be longer. My body needs to be hotter. My image needs to be cooler. My waist needs to be smaller. Society really knows how to make you feel like crap. Students, I share that with you because here's the truth. You will never be good enough to the world. The worldly reality tonight is you'll never, ever be good enough. You'll never be good enough. In the Bible, in Proverbs, chapter number 31. Proverbs 31. Just going to read a smidge of this. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Here's what it says. Proverbs 31, verse number 30. Says this. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman, and I'll paraphrase, beast, or a man who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Charm, deceptive, beauty, fleeting. But a woman or a man who fears God, who looks at life and says the inside of who they are matters more than the outside. That's what matters. And students, let's just be honest. If you think of it like this, when we're all 80 years old, we'll all be ugly. That's the truth. I mean, laugh it up, but it's true. Because our outward appearance will fade. But something that will never fade is who we are on the inside. And that brings me to the last thought. We said the worldly reality is that you'll never be good enough. And the true reality is this, the inside matters more. Don't leave this room and think that I just told you it's that you don't have to work to look good and be your best and those things. That's not what I'm saying tonight. But what I am saying is that the truth is that the inside will always matter more. It will matter more to God who you are on the inside. And the Bible says it like this. Jesus replied. He said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Let's think about that. Heart, soul, mind. All three components, something you never see. And so here's the challenge. And here's the thought of tonight. And this is where you're going to go. You're going to go to your small groups. You're going to talk about this tonight. What are the ways that the world has lied to you? What are the things that you're choosing to believe, knowing that they're not real, knowing they're not true? One lie is that the outside matters more than the inside. Students, the truth, the inside matters more. And so what I'm going to do is I want to pray for you tonight. As you head into your groups, I want to pray that God would continue to open your eyes to what is true. And before I do that, I want to challenge you with one more thing. Go to your parents and talk to them about this stuff. I get it. It's weird. You don't feel right about going to your mom or dad, but can I be honest? Your parents need to be the ones in your life that you can talk to about these significant realities. So I challenge you to go to them this week and talk to them about what we talked about. Let's pray. God, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you. Help us to see what's real and what's true. God, help us to be faithful to your plan for sex, to be faithful to your plan for relationships with the opposite gender. And I pray, God, I pray that you would help us to know and to understand that the inside, that's what really matters to you. We love you. As we go into our groups, give us good discussion. In Jesus' name, amen.